Blog Talk Radio.
Let's have one day, we need Sunday. If you have a more,
in my mother, Dada.
Fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Good evening, Mr. Nkama.
Good evening, and we are grateful to the Lord for another day, another evening.
That's correct.
He's watching over our lives, our families, our country.
Yes.
That's why we've been doing this every evening, Roger, to recognize.
That's correct.
Like that's the correct. Song was saying, Fionse, Fiaramu Isong, the Fiakwalesa.
Fiakwalesa, amen. Amen, amen, amen. This Nathan, has been a very, very special week. I can testify to that. Sometimes I think we get lost walking, you know, just wondering, thinking, what am I going to do about this, about that, and then we forget about, I think, what is the real meaning of life. And this week, looking at the Word of God for what we have done, I think it has brought a lot of things. Yesterday, we looked at restoration, restoring my soul. I went home and I was sharing with my wife. I actually called it how bizarre it was that if a sheep misbehaves, the head its legs break them so it can learn a lesson. I said, my wife was saying, yes. And today we are going to chapter 4, verse 4. Even though I walk in the valley or in the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your Lord and your staff. Their comfort me. Pastor Gladson, good evening. You are with us here. Dr. Munsanje, good evening. Rachongo, good evening to you. I'll be coming. I just want to put my thoughts together like we did yesterday, and then we are going to build. Dr. Munsanje has a few things he wants to share, and then we'll combine the study. Nathan, I was looking at the whole issue of death and this chapter. This verse is basically, I think, more of a promise to us, you know, resurrection. After we have died, there is nothing probably we can worry about. And yet, death, Nathan, we can agree, all of us, it still brings worry in the lives of Christians. It brings panic. Like I said yesterday, my father died when I was 5. My mom didn't know what was going to happen to the children. We had just gone to Kasempa, and the relatives were less inclined to have anything to do with the young ones, like me. I was very, very young at the moment. My dad got, he built himself a store. It was in rural Zambia, moved from the mines and went back home. He had a store, he had everywhere, but he was asthmatic. But according to people, it was because of the store he built.
The store.
Which caused the heart to have asthma attack and died, but the people wanted the store. That was, but I've come to realize asthma was the main cause. But that just reminds me of what death sometimes could do to us. The loss, the brokenness, not knowing what you're going to do next. The breadwinner has died. And the psalmist here is saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. That is to me who is about to lose a life. But what about to them who are going to remain behind? We still remain, Nathan, we remain in loss and broken. Even with a promise like this laid down to us, we find we are still up to today, we can comfort those who are believing, but at the same time, one time, I don't know if this is funny or what, Nathan, I got a cold one day, and I was so sick. Somehow, I started thinking I could die. and I said to myself, is it, have I given everything to my son? If I was to die today, have I given everything? My son needs to know. Does he know my relatives? Does he know my village where I come from? How is he going to do this? So that scared me even more. Have I given him everything? Scripture is telling me here today that even in death, I shall fear no evil. And yet, as a believer, I find myself engrossed in fear, Nathan. I say engrossed in fear. But the good shepherd is giving us this promise. Remain in me, and I in you, you shall have no fear. I think that is the promise. Even our nation, we may be at loss of the beloved one. The president has gone. The symbolism of losing a president, the crisis, this may, we are all scared about that, even in beer. But we have a promise here, Nathan, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I will not let you open, Nathan. Let's hear from what Dr. Musanje had to share, and then you and Pastor Gladson will help us this evening. Understanding, first and foremost, the fear part of death, and then the promise is making here that we shall not fear any evil. Dr. Musanje, good evening.
The best verse on my part, where it says, even when I walk through the dark valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close to me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. That is a very wonderful verse, and you said it correctly, that this is a at a time when there's a death, there's a lot of fear. However, all of us need to understand that death is part of life, and God has put it for us for a reason. At a time, for my story, I lost my young brother, who was only 29 years old. In 1993, 7 June, that day I don't even forget it. Kembia, who I later on named my son after, he died in London. And at that time, I was so disappointed. I could not understand why a young man who was only 29 years old should die soon after graduating from Europe from his studies. He never worked in his life. He died, and he had produced a child with an Ethiopian girl, and he left. That child was under 1 year old at that time. So we were lucky. Things happened. God helped. We were able to bring the body back to Zambia, and he's buried at my father's farm in Macha, Zambia. Now, in connection with the situation that we are facing a situation where we don't know what is going to come next. But I want to share again that God is always beside us to protect us. He's doing everything to comfort us, because during that time it was a very big storm. For many years we could not understand, but we got an opportunity to work through the daughter that was left by this man, my brother. And I worked very hard personally. I had something to do with it. We brought her to America, and she was staying with her mother, who had gotten a scholarship here in Oklahoma City. And later on, she moved into Canada. The mother got a Canadian, and she is now a Canadian. So that is where I just want to end to say that, well, even under the valley of death, there is always something that God has not really abandoned us. With our young girl, Keisha Munsanje, is doing very well. She's now a student of nursing in some college in Vancouver. So that is the story that I wanted to share. Even in this situation, look at what has happened in Zambia. So far, we have 8 heads of state who are coming from Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, Kavira from Congo, Mutarika from Malawi, Paul Kagame from Rwanda, Uhuru Kenyatta from Kenya, Museveni from Uganda, Pohamba from Namibia, Philippe Nyusi from Mozambique, and the Vice President Ali Mohamed from Tanzania. So all this is bringing unity. Yes, we know that we have lost a leader, but there is something that is happening in the region. We are no longer looking at each other as from another country, but we are all grieving for the dear president. So that is my sharing for tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Munsanje. Thank you for that. Verse 4 of Psalm 20:23. Even though I walk in the valley or the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. We'll come back to the commentary. We've been playing some of what Mr. Sata had to say when he came to Zambia Block Talk Radio on August 11, and Nathan had interviewed him. And then when we come back, we'll open it up. This is what he had to say.
You're thirsty. Let's go.
The point is, we are drifting back in what we have passed through. During Kenneth Kaunda's reign, we had the spate of traffic accidents. And it was again on Great East Road, going to Chipata, when there was a very fatal accident involving a bus. He appointed the Professor Mwanalusi's commission, and the recommendations of Professor Mwanalusi are still there. We all know about them. First of all, as one chief said, the conditions of our roads must be looked at, because that road was built by the Italian a long time ago, and we have never looked at it. The vehicles, as the chief said, the models are changing. They are becoming much faster than they were when they built that road. So you find that those are all the social aspects which we have to look at, because no investor would like to go to a country where too many accidents. Because if you have too many accidents, the insurance rates will go higher than they are at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But those are a number of things which we have to look at, because at the moment, the police, the logistics they have, the police, the money which the police have, the maintenance of our roads, and a number of other things which we have to look at. That's why all of you have something to do. You have to come back to Zambia and come and help build Zambia. Don't remain there and leave other people to build Zambia for you, so that you can just come and enjoy.
That was Mr. Sata, and he's a straight talk. That's the way he talked. It is amazing that you can listen to an audio like that, and then imagine that the man who said those words is no more. Pastor Carson, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, sir.
Yes, and thank you for joining us again tonight. You were with us yesterday, and you blessed us. All of us who were here can say you were a blessing. Pastor Nkama here, Chongo, my good friend Daniel, you've been a blessing. Looking at this verse now, we are coming to look at this from the pastoral perspectives. We have given it to you at a layman's language, the way a layman will probably say it. Now, please lead us the understanding of this scripture. Review, please, to us what God is saying to us through verse 4.
Okay, well, thank you. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be with everybody on this forum tonight. I would like to, look at this verse the other way around. Instead of starting from, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'd like to start from where, you know, the bottom part of it. So I decided to write it that way, and I'll read what I wrote, you know, starting from the bottom, going back up. This is what I wrote. I said, I am comforted and confident. I am confident and comforted because your rod and your staff, which is a symbol of your presence with me. Therefore, I will fear no evil, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So, looking at it from that way, because it's poetry, and I think sometimes it's important to look at the gist of it all. The end result is not being afraid. And the element that helps us not to be afraid is, number one, you are with me. And number two, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Back in the day, it's interesting to remember the story of the broken sheep's leg. But back in the day, when shepherds had the rod, which was like... you know, at times we can look at it as the baton that the police have. I think better illustrated with back home, back in the day when I was growing up, we had the security guards that had this, you know, big stick that was fat on one side and small on the end.
Like a baseball, yes.
Yes, like a baseball bat. That is the best depiction of what a rod is. And what it was in that day. So the rod was always worn on the side of the shepherd. It was a weapon. It was used to be a weapon to defend the sheep from, you know, attacks and everything. And then the staff, of course, was a stick with a hook on the top. And it was used for, you know, rescuing or pulling the sheep back into the fort if they're going astray or they're about to fall off the cliff. The shepherd would reach out and hook, you know, the ship back in. And so if you look at that in itself, if I am sheep and I see the shepherd with those two things, the fear and the confidence, you know, fear is gone, confidence takes place because the shepherd's job is to protect me from attacks from the enemy. His job is to rescue me if I am to fall into a ditch. His job is to be that helping hand, you know, to guide me in the right way. And so when David says that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, it's more of looking at having the confidence that no matter what I go through, God has assured me that he's going to be with me. You know, scripture says that I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, it depicts God to be the righteous judge. It depicts God to be the Father. It depicts God to be Psalm 91, you know, hovering over us, covering us under the shadow of his wings, you know. And so we are in that place. Zambia right now, it's a place of, it's interesting, you know, that there's death in the scripture and we're experiencing, you know, the effects of that in our nation. Death is one thing that even theologians, you know, in no matter how studious they may be, death is one thing that nobody agrees on. You know, Jesus overcame death. But death is looked at different ways. Just like Pastor Nathan said yesterday, we look at it and mourn death in different ways, but it also, death is looked at from different ways depending on where you are. There are those
that's
that
right.
look forward to dying because they're frustrated in life. there are those that are afraid of death, you know, like you alluded earlier, saying, am I ready? What would I, have I taught my son enough things to help him, you know, get through life? Have I given him the tools necessary for him to succeed when I'm not around? So there are questions like that that arise. But in the midst of those questions, his word and his stuff, his presence, his faithfulness, his protection is right there, reassuring us that we need not to worry because he's in control, because he's got our back, like they say it out here. You know, he's right there with us. He's right there in the midst of the perils of life. And so in this moment in Zambia, really, if questions are asked, but in the midst of questions, we need to remember that God is right there. God is faithful. God is story.
Yes.
Is story. I'm going to end with this little story. A story is told of a king that had a servant. And every time, in every situation, the servant would always tell the king, God is good and is perfect. What he does is just. So one day they go to hunt, and the king, you know, is attacked by an animal. The servant manages to kill the animal, but could not manage to you know, keep it from biting off a finger from the king. So the king, in anger, you know, questions God. He said, well, if God is good, why did this happen? And so he eventually puts the servant in jail, in prison. As the servant is going into prison, he tells the king, you know what, king, God is still good and he is perfect. So time goes by, the king goes back into the woods to hunt, and he is captured by a tribe that uses human sacrifice. So he's put on the altar by this tribe to offer him to their god. And these tribes, these savages, realize that the king does not have one finger. According to their tradition, the king was incomplete, the sacrifice was not going to be acceptable, so they let the king go because he's imperfect. He immediately gets back to his palace and orders the servant to be released and tells the servant, God is good to me because I was captured by these guys and they're not sacrificing because I didn't have a finger. And then he asked the question, if God is good, why did he allow me to put you in prison? The response that the servant gave is that, well, if I went with you on a hunt, if I didn't go into prison, I would have gone with you on a hunt. And they would have captured me because I'm whole, and I would have been the one that would have been sacrificed. So God is good and he's perfect in everything. So the servant being held up was saving his life. The king losing his finger was actually saving his life. And so we don't know how God works, but at the end of the day, God is good and he's perfect, and everything he does is within his plan.
Well said. Well said. Amen. Well said. Well said. Well said. Well said. So the help you are going to be giving us here, moving forward this day, the days to come, the leaders in the church, what they are going to be telling us, and I think to be moving us, it is in that direction that we should probably be very, very patient. To the God's voice, what is the Lord saying to us? God review in this situation. We found that very, very good illustration. Pastor Nkama here, I don't know what thought would you'd want to come with in addition to what Pastor Gladson has said this evening.
I wanted to come from the angle of you asked a question at the beginning of the program. You said, why do we fear death? First, let me commend Pastor Glatz on what he has shared. That's very profound. It's very, very profound and encouraging. Because God's workings, we can, the Bible says, in his ways are not our ways.
That's correct.
You see, the reason we fear death, the way I'll present it this way, my understanding is this. Death, the origin, death came about because of disobedience. Remember, God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the fruit. In the day you eat, you will die. So he was telling them that when you disobey my instruction, you will be separated from me. Death is actually separation. Because nobody can reach the president anymore. He has been separated from us. His family cannot reach him. Those
no.
in the cabinet can't reach him. The close friends,
no.
nobody can reach him except
mm-hmm.
divinity. He's in another realm of life. We fear death because the first thing that comes to your mind when you're about to die or you're confronted with a scenario of death, whether it's in sickness, you are in a situation where you find yourself in a bad accident, bad wreck, or just in a situation where people capture you, they're about to attack you, the first thing that comes to your mind is, what did I do wrong? Finishing dufienye. Mwele esa, please. You know? You know, have you noticed those situations where even in just in the movies when people are performing, they're like, everybody whom I have wronged, please forgive me and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because death came about as a result of disobedience. So there is a tendency and that inclination to think that I'm going to die on Alafa because I have made a mistake or I have wronged or I have disobeyed. The other aspect of death is what we forget to realize is that because of that limit, because man disobeyed, so he had to die. God cut his time on earth, and he made, you see, God's promises will be fulfilled. They will come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they are for good or they are for negative or evil. And those are some of the things that the concept, like you have said, Roger, rightly, these are moments as people who have been given spiritual responsibility need to explain these things to the people in a time of mourning or when life is going on normally. When there are certain things that God has said, they will come to pass. As bad or as evil we may think they are, death will come to pass. The other aspect of death is Hebrews. It is mandated. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. So
yes,
all of us will die. God put it there because he put a limitation to man's lifespan to sort of have a hold or a control on, say, because you see, if man went on living perpetually, evil was also going to be perpetually going along.
That's correct.
Because the reason God put a limitation to it is because Adam went against God's plan. So
mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to deal with it forever. He put caps on everything. That's why the world will come to an end at one time. I know some of these things, this is not the type of theological teaching we are used to steer our emotions and everything. But you see, we are in a moment where we need to be faced with very difficult realities. So my
yes.
two points are, we fear death because it came about as a result of disobedience. So every time we are faced with that life and death situation, the first thought that confronts us is, what have I done wrong or what did I do wrong? That's not always the case. And then the second point is, death is mandated. It's in Scripture. The Bible says it is appointed man to once to die, and then comes the judgment. There will be a judgment, but that's not the discussion for today. So in these moments, Roger, when you go back to the verse in 23, to connect it with what Pastor Gladson has said, we need to remember that even in these moments, we will fear. Whether you believe or not, you said it yourself. I mean, there have been times all of us have been sick and we think, Lord, I hope I'm not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You see, oh, my children are young, and it's amazing, those of us with children, that's always the first excuse that comes to mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's always the first excuse with us with children. Oh, my children are young, Lord, and you know, things like that. So even in these moments, like Pastor Glasson has explained this verse 4, there is a sign that God is there to be with us. What we need to be, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know,
that's correct.
Just like Mary and Martha, you remember, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. He told them, I am the resurrection and the life. But they didn't seem to get what he was trying to say. He said, I am. He didn't say, I will be the resurrection. So he was trying to tell them, they were not understanding. So he said, you know what? talking to these women and trying to make them understand is a waste of time. Let me just do and show them that I am the resurrection and the life. So that's where you get to that point where he says, remove the stone. Okay? I don't know how it would have been done in our time today. Would have said, dig him up? I don't know. Or something like that. But he told them to remove the stone because he wanted to show him then that life and death was in his hands.
Okay.
So that's what that verse is telling us to say. Everything is in God's hands. Like you, the song you played at the beginning, Roger, it said, "Fionse mu isonde," everything in the world. And the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and even those that dwell in it. So it's not just the earth. Even the contents of the earth belongs to God.
You said nobody can reach the president. This has been my thought, actually, today, Nathan. Imagining and thinking the way King Cobra could bite people. the way he could, you know, we were, you know, joking even on Zambia Block Talk Radio. How can you be reshuffling your cabinet like this? And to just imagine that people like the vice president now can do whatever they can do. And he's there, motionless. There's nothing he can do. It is real, you know, if you were to think about this, I really think about this. The Santa, we knew the active man who would come and fire somebody on the spot. There is nothing to do. And maybe that is what scares us. But thank you, brethren. And those who are calling in, those who are coming, we are going to have our say. But the two pastors have really helped us here. So it is normal for us to be fearful. But at the same time, if we could be grounded in the promise of God, I think that fear will most likely be reduced. God is always there. I'm going back to what Pastor Gladson shared with us this evening. The promise of God still stands. God is always there, and when we come back, I'll join with you, our friends who have called in via the phone.
He's always there for me.
God is always there for me, no matter what the circumstances. God is always there for me. This number keeps confusing me, whether it's Elizabeth or Pastor Chongo. Good evening. Last four numbers, 2369.
All right. This is Chongo.
Oh, good. Good, Wachongo. But Elizabeth's number is 610. Yours is 601. So you get where I'm getting confused, Brother Chongo.
Right.
Yes. Please come through with the words which have been spoken. You've been with us from the start of the discussion. And we are probably sending a very, very powerful message. We are just adding on to the many messages which are being sent to our country, which happening as we speak. We are just adding on to that. Any contribution, Bachongo, to what you've heard from the two gentlemen here this evening?
Yeah, I think just to add on, and maybe I can just to follow up from where Barantama left off, and he talked mainly answering the question, why do we fear death? And then I think coming to our base, I think even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what I see there is that the psalmist was bringing up the idea that he is actually, he has mentioned from the first three verses, like we saw yesterday, is the people did share, they did mention that aspect of restoration. And he is following up, he's connecting from there, that, you know, there is a restoration that is sure, that we can be restored to the original righteousness of God. And once we have that restoration, we will not be scared of going to be with the Lord. Because death, like Brother Nathan has just said, is assured. Everyone will go through it. And so the psalmist says, I know I will go. But even if I am going there, even when I'm so sure that I'm going, I will not be scared. Because of that restoration that has happened to me, I have been restored to him. He knew his weaknesses. He knew that the things he had done that would have warranted that he be doomed. But he knew the Lord had forgiven him. And he was standing saying, the Lord is with me. And so I can go through the shadow of death. And that's it. Difficult times. And this could be many looked at when we look at a very sick person and an old person. Billy Graham is just celebrating the 96th birthday. And I believe this is what he is saying. I am looking forward to heaven. His theme for this year, for his birthday, is heaven. He's looking forward to heaven. He's not afraid. He knows where he is going. But naturally, we are afraid of death. We are afraid of death. Even just hearing that someone has died, we are afraid. The whole country of Zambia is under some shock. It's like you can feel that there is death in the country because someone has died. When a village headman dies, you like feel it. But, you know, someone has died and you even fear to walk at night. You know, it's in death has happened. But we have the blessed confidence. If we have been restored, if we have committed our life to the Lord our God, he has forgiven us. Though the body may be fearing to die, but yet there is this behind us which says, confidence in you. Go through it. It's a passage of life. And so we can look at Zambia, even as much as we are fearing of what is going to come because of the death of the leader of the country, we must have the confidence that something good is going to come even after we have gone through all this. Something good is coming because we have committed ourselves to the Lord. And this should be the confidence for all Zambians, even as we pray. That's
Yes. Something good, will come out of this. Yes. Brother Tsewe, good evening.
Good evening, Roger. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll make a quick comment because I know we have other people want to contribute. The only thing I wish would have played the song at Ava Fawashu then it goes on and says Womeness Wewaya, but I'll put Vasaka's name Michael Chirusa Sata Mwewaya Wami Fuluka Wami Rosha. You know, because you know, we have gathered here to talk about Vasata Vachirufia, you know, it's challenging, you know, to all of us, you know. The man maybe doesn't, I mean, if he's there, he knows how much we miss him. We are talking about him playing those things when he came on Zambia Talk Radio. And for us who have been Zambia, he's a true Zambian, you know. And I just want to let everybody know that we miss the man, a fellow Zambian, and he made us, you know, happy when he was around, and he's missed by his family. And we just want to thank you, his family, for sharing him with us, you know. And I feel privileged to come after three ministers. I think Brother Chongwe is a minister too, right? I feel privileged to make a comment after these men of God. And there, because of the time, this is a very challenging word of God. And David, I think he was... He wasn't like a preacher. He was a leader. But when they stumbled about his writings and the things that was going in life, it's something that when you read, it challenges. It's something when you read, it gives strength. It's something when you read, it gives confirmation in what you are going. And because of time, again, I'm just going to go to Martin Luther King, if you heard the speech. And he says, I don't fear no man. I fear no man. You know, and I sat down, and I think the following day he was taken. When you know the truth, and you know when you know who's in front of you, and you know when you know who's your God, you know, there's no fear, you know. And when you are represented by a lawyer who fear law, you can even feel your bones are shaking. I mean, inside you, when you're true in front of somebody who doesn't, who represent you according to the law, you can feel it in the presence. You're not scared of anything because
That's
of time,
right.
Roger. This is a very good scripture, Roger. It's a very good, and whatever, if you came up with it, I mean, it's the right time you came up with it. And we have no time to exhaust it because it's something that... we can expand it all night, you know. Thank you, brother. And we miss President Sata. And thank you for everyone who has contributed.
Amen. And may the good Lord be with our nation as we continue to pray. God commanded the children of Israel, you know, the war of Jericho. You go and surround it, was it seven times? You go around it, and, you know, you might start thinking, what was the magic of that? How did that happen? And our call, Dr. Mumsanje and the whole team at ZBTR, is to conclude this our discussion the day when the burial takes place, on Tuesday. So those who are going to have time will keep inviting people and friends who could come and share with us. Tomorrow evening we'll continue, and thank you, Bachongo, even for bringing, I think, the connection. So I hope the good men of God here will help with the summary when we come on Tuesday to put up a summary of the whole thing. Now bring it together. Tomorrow evening we'll be here. Those who can be with us, 8 Eastern time. We are going to look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and the cup that overthrows. The cup overthrows. So if we are able to invite our friends to come, let me come. But we are encouraged that we have been able to share these things. And some of us, I think, are just waking up. I knew, Nathan, there was Psalm 23, and I've read Psalm 23 even before. But never did it come the way it has come out, the way you people, men of God, have explained it. And I'm sure those who are going to be listening to our radio probably are going to be to benefit the way we have. Before Pastor Gladson and Pastor Kama say the last word, Dr. Munsanje, any last word from you before we can hand it over for prayer?
No, I just want to thank the people who have been attending this session, that we are doing our country a lot of good by showing that we are united. Even in the valley of death, we are continuing to praise God as a country. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Pastor Gladson, your last thoughts here. I'm surprised how 1 hour can easily evaporate just like that.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up the verse that we've read. Actually, also has to do with a test. Yesterday, I think it was by Elizabeth that was asking, maybe God is testing us as a nation, or, you know, are we going to pass this test? If you and I remember correctly, whether it's grade 7 or grade 9, you know, grade 12, when we sit down for a test or an exam, you never encountered what you had not learned or what you were not taught before. So the test came to validate that you know what you learned, what you were taught. And so you have to prove by answering that you know what you're taught. And so Zambia, what I can say is this to Zambia, that God knows that we can handle this. Otherwise, He would not have allowed it to happen. God knows that we can handle this. He has given us the ability, He has given us the strength and the power to handle this, because He has prepared us for this. He has prepared us to handle this in the way that He's expecting us to. Why do I say that? Because His rod and His staff comfort us. Mm-hmm. His presence comfort us. He is right there in the midst of it all. So yes, we're going through this trying period, but just know that this test, God has prepared us, just like in the physical world. When you go to do a test, you have read, you've studied, you've been taught, you know, and you know what to expect. And it is up to you to either, you know, bring out what you've learned, or you're going to sit back and say, it's too difficult, I can't handle it, and you fail. But I know, I have confidence in God and in Zambia that we have got this. We'll make it through this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. This all helps us, Pastor Gladson, that we may not be getting surprised. You know, you go to Zambia Watchdog, you know, Mutimawara, Toloka, God has prepared us for this.
Yeah.
We should be ready. So anything which is being read, written on online, or anyone is saying, it is either we are prepared or not, but God has prepared. This is a chosen nation, the only country on earth, Nathan, which has been declared a Christian nation. And to me, I really believe in that. Your last comment, Nathan, and maybe you can even close for us in a word of prayer.
You see, like Pastor Gladson has said, God said to the children of Israel through Joshua and said, my servant Moses is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And He says, you and these people, the children of Israel, get up and go up yonder. keep going. So, you see, and a lot of people do not understand. This is why, Roger, I really commend you taking this step to do this, because here is the thing, Pastor Gladson. People don't understand that there is no authority except that which is from God.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how I felt or how somebody else felt about Vasat, our political conviction. He was God's anointed servant for the moment. And I am convinced, like we said at our memorial service, Pastor Gladson, he was raised up for a moment like this to perform a specific thing, just a specific thing. You know, Roger, what God does is he raises a man just to perform a specific assignment.
Yeah.
And here, I'll tell you what, and I keep saying this, whether I'm misunderstood or not, I mean, if you listen to this show, you know my political position. I have no partisan position. I speak as a servant of God and as a leader of the people.
Yes.
The nation was being run down. The arrogance that was exhibited by those that were in leadership was beyond comprehension. God raised up Sata to bring a stop to that and take the nation to a different level. That was his assignment, in my understanding. Me.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Me. And you see, God has got, God works in seasons and frames of time. These are the things, this moment is crucial, Roger, for spiritual leadership to stand up and give direction to the nation. We should not be politicking, we should be speaking prophetically into our nation and giving direction. Vasata's assignment is done. We need to rise up as a nation. And the important thing is we need to pray that God raises the man that he has marked for the coming, for the next season. Because like you say, Roger, Zambia is a marked nation. That's why the enemy keeps rising up against us, because we've declared war openly against the enemy. And it's not just going to be looking. You see, this is, and this is another thing that we need to understand as a people, those that call upon God. One thing you need to learn about the devil, he doesn't have pity parties.
No, he does not.
The devil, the devil doesn't have time for pity parties.
I'll cut you short, and because we have only 2 minutes, you will have to cover that for prayer. That way, those who are listening online are not cut off when you pray. But
that's
these
right.
are profound things which are just coming out in this study. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you because you are the God of the nations. You are the God of the peoples of the earth, and you are the God of Zambia. Once again, we remember the first family. We remember our political leaders, both in power and in the opposition, and the spiritual leadership, economic, and all our leaders in our country. We pray, Lord, that as we transition through this period of mourning, watch over those that are at home, watch those that are abroad, and watch those that are close to our late president. We thank you. Bless our time together on this forum. Even as we continue tomorrow, we speak peace and we speak prosperity into our nation, because we have asked in the only name, the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you so much, everyone, and those who are able to meet with us tomorrow, same time. Please do. In the morning, we are talking about some politics. The U.S., Obama lost the Senate and Congress. What is there for Mr. Obama? That would be politics time, but in the evening, we are back to our prayer time. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. God bless you as we mourn our dear president.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.